Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita.
I'm Ron.
And I'm Jean Marie.
Collectively, we're the host of Podcast DX. On today's show, we're speaking with Dr. Kimberly Jackson. Dr. Jackson is the founder of Physicians Working Together, which is an exciting social movement that focuses on connecting, collaborating, and caring for physicians, medical students, and the communities served. She is located in the Chattahoochee Valley in Phenix City, Alabama. Welcome to the show, Dr. Jackson.
Hi, hello, and thanks for having me.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Good morning, Dr. Jackson. This is Ron. You asked to speak to us on the camaraderie in the healthcare field during an epidemic, or in today's case, a pandemic. How can physicians help and support one another during times like these?
Awesome. That is a great question. So first of all, just my heart and thoughts and prayers go out to everyone that's been affected by the COVID-19 pandemic. It has been, I think, horrific is an understatement. It has affected us in all sectors of our lives, from, of course, the actual loss of lives to the economy and, you know, various things that affect us on a global level. I think one of the things that we can do, and one of the things that I myself personally, as well as the organization, PWT, Physicians Working Together, is doing, is the old school pick up the phone and call a person, right? Reach out to them, text. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, check on them. It's not sometimes just the quick, maybe click a box on your Facebook or, you know, tweet something. Sometimes just hearing a person's voice and just saying, hey, how are you? How is your family? I just want to check on you means a lot. Obviously, the old school where we used to have a physician's lounge is gone. So with the idea of using social media, we have a virtual lounge, physicians working together. And with that, we also reach out and say, you know, there have been drives to like raise PPE for hospitals and for other physicians, ways to discuss things to take care of your family. What are ways that you can actually get systems in place so you can feel safe when you come home to your family, whether showering, changing, and things like that. So sharing information, checking on each other, reaching out and saying, hey, how are you doing, means a lot and makes a huge difference.
Right.
That's a wonderful idea.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I know that when I'm on social media nowadays, I actually look for cues or hints from other people that they might need somebody to reach out to them. Some people aren't quite as forthright and say, hey, I need help. But you might get those cues just based on a change in their personality or a change in their habits.
Correct.
Could you tell us what has been the biggest challenge that physicians such as yourself face during stressful times like these?
Oh my.
Big question.
A couple parts of that question. So speaking for myself personally, I'm a family medicine physician. I am in a privately owned clinic. So for us, so many things were factors, right? First and foremost, we wanted to make sure that our patients were well-educated and that they were able to get the services that they need. Of course, with, you know, stay at home and shutdowns and economic losses and jobs, that became a huge issue. And addressing that issue also brings into the other part that a lot of times persons think about or don't talk about, and that's the finances. When you are a small business, and I know several small businesses had this issue as well, if you don't have the services being given and provided and the resources coming in, then you can face bankruptcy. So one of the huge challenges that physicians, particularly that had their own clinics, had was if we aren't able to see patients, then we aren't able to take care of our families, aren't able to take care of our staff, right? So we had to try to quickly implement like virtual visits. We tried to implement information to tell patients how they could still get the services that they need. And then, of course, we wanted to do that safely. So then the other barrier became having the personal protective equipment known as PPE. Mm-hmm. And it just wasn't enough and it wasn't a lot available. So it ends up being not even, I guess, one major challenge, just the combination of challenges as far as, you know, providing good healthcare, doing it safely, effectively, efficiently. We have an older patient population. Would they be able to use, you know, Zoom and virtual things like this?
Right.
Would they be able to understand what was going on? And then we had the players of insurance companies that hadn't set up their system to be able to reimburse for those services. And it got to the point where some would say $20 or $30. And it's like, that's not going to sufficiently cover your expenses to be able to take care of patients and help them get what they need. On a bigger scale, one of, I think, the biggest challenges facing, you know, physicians in this pandemic and stressors having to deal with is just kind of that lack of feeling heard, mm-hmm. and that our concerns matter. And I think a lot of people saw that with a lot of the, you know, healthcare essential workers, your nurses, your doctors, even other folks that work in homes and clinics and like nursing homes, clinics and things like that, that we weren't being heard and it wasn't being taken seriously, that we needed the PPE and things like that to be able to safely do our jobs and take care of patients. So that was, you know, huge challenges.
For sure, for sure.
Yeah, it sounds like that would be overwhelming. And then at the same time, you're trying to save lives. So that's
right.
We definitely applaud you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And Dr. Jackson, based on the new challenges healthcare workers are facing, are you finding that you rely more on family and friends for support as well?
Oh, absolutely. And one of the cool things that has been about this, I think this solidarity of coming out, I was telling persons that it's kind of unfortunate, but we have this COVID silver linings. And part of it has been this embracing of supporting each other, reaching out to persons that sometimes you may not think about. And I felt like it's kind of this new appreciation for teachers, mm-hmm. as well
oh,
as for
definitely.
And so I was like, hey, we need to join up with teachers because we feel like, you know, for the most part, being a physician, particularly, a lot of times, you know, even nurses feel undervalued, but you really don't hear about the doctors, right? It's always going to be like, say, Nurses Week. It's going to be Nurses This. Johnson & Johnson has a wonderful nurses commercial, and it's nothing to put them down. We all deserve those, you know, accolades and support. So having the opportunity to, you know, hear from people and have family and friends check on you has been amazing. And you definitely had to do it. I'm gonna keep it real. I had to like contact family and say, hey, do y'all have Lysol? I mean, you know, do you have different things that you may see? Because I'm working through the day. So by the time sometimes they stock some of the things, they're sold out. Also simple things like that, like who's cooking? Can someone drop off food? Because if I'm working all day and then come home and I'm like, you know, telling my child, don't touch me or come close to me. Mommy needs to change and shower and all this stuff. The last thing I'm trying to think about is, you know, what am I going to cook? Right. So people providing meals and people just checking on you and, you know, calling and still trying to do these things safely, mask and socially distance, having family and friends, you know, reach out and check on you and make sure you're okay has been hugely important. And we're glad for it and we appreciate it.
Well, that's great. That's great. Could you tell us if social workers or others can work hand in hand with physicians to relieve some of the stress? And the increased workload that the pandemic has placed on physicians?
Yes, absolutely they can. So we have even networks here that are for persons either indigent or have, let's say, state insurance, Medicaid, or either, you know, you have DHR and DFS and all these different things that assist families that involve social workers. And particularly now when stress is at a huge, huge level. I mean, even persons that were pretty chill and felt like they never had, say, depression, anxiety, or social anxiety. Now with just the news and the deaths and the uncertainty of the times, those mental health issues have surfaced as well as worsened. And so social workers are extremely important because they're able to help us with getting those resources for patients, right? Whether it's Meals on Wheels, whether it's, you know, whether your availability for living wills and healthcare power of attorneys, because you have situations where, unfortunately, you know, parents may be in a nursing home or be in places where they are facing life and death decisions. Who helps make those decisions? So we utilize social workers in different capacities, from organizations to persons that have been working with us before, that can help us utilize the time that we have, the limited time we have, more effectively to be able to get patients the resources that they need so they can take care of themselves and others. So it's definitely a role and definitely appreciate it.
Well, that's good too.
Yeah. Dr. Jackson, what's the best advice that you have received to help deal with this stress? And what's the best advice that you have given to other healthcare providers to deal with stress?
I believe the best advice I've been given is just take a deep breath. You know, like you can't control it. You can't fix it. At one point I was talking to a friend and essentially they were like, look, and I have a tendency to talk fast anyway. I'm from a large family. So I have a lot of brothers. So I was fucking trying to get it in. And they were just like, Dr. J, take a breath. And I was like, you know what? I need to do that more often. And so, of course, with all the issues, you know, we have, I mean, everything with COVID pandemic, we have, police brutality, we have, I can't breathe, we have all these situations and things that are like affecting our respiratory system, literally, as well as just affecting our ability to be able to relax and de-stress. I think that was the best advice I was given. It's just like, you know what? Take a deep breath.
Take a deep breath.
Yes, just take a deep breath, relax, you know, try to, you know, own that moment and realize you can't fix everything. And then as far as advice I give other persons is, you know, realize that you're not perfect and you can't do it alone. And that's the whole purpose of why we have physicians working together, that you don't have to feel like you're less than or you're weak if you have to reach out to others and ask for assistance or ask for opinions or even ask for just help. So that's the main thing I tell people. We're best together and we need to make sure that we are aware that you're not less than because you can, you know, ask for help. So just tell people, don't feel like you have to be alone. We're here for you.
Good.
That's good advice.
And for other physicians that are, you know, suffering as well, do you have any advice for them? Are there, or do you have any links for them that they might be able to go to based on your organization that they can go and they can get a little bit of that camaraderie?
Absolutely. So the first thing I have for physicians is, of course, our group, Physicians Working Together. We have a Facebook group, private group for physicians and medical students. We have a website, thepwt.org, as well as besttogether.org, and that's best, the number two, and then GETHER.org. And we have ways to chat and message and let us know. And we receive these messages. We get emails. We get, private messages where folks are saying, hey, this is what's going on, my hospital, my residency. And we'll connect people with different resources. I just want persons, even, you know, the old and true, call 911, you know, check your resources of community. Those things are available and always appropriate. If anyone's feeling like they want to take their life or harm someone else, we really want them just to know you're not alone. There are resources for you. You can reach out to myself personally. You can reach out to our team and our admin team and members of our group so we can give you the resources and the things that you need, because it is really stressful now. And it's one of those things where I had a good friend, Dr. Esther Chu, was on, I believe, CNN the other night and just saying, you know what? This is a major issue. We want the community and persons to know that we're human too, that we cry, we hurt, we have issues and concerns. And when persons can allow us to let them know about those concerns and support us, but not make us feel less than, then that's like one of the, you know, most important things we can do. And by being a community of physicians, medical students, healthcare workers, legislators, persons like yourself that give us this platform to discuss this, we're mm-hmm. able to support each other and make a difference and makes us all better, helps us all.
That's great. And what do you wish that your patients knew about and others knew about the social and emotional needs of healthcare workers during this epidemic?
Oh, that is such a great question. Okay, so for the most part, my particular patients have been very blessed that are very supportive and understanding, but you have a few, and as a tendency, as a society, we have a tendency to be a little selfish anyway. And of course, when we're stressed, sometimes we lash out at those that are there to help us. And mm-hmm. it's not generally personal, right. But I think what I would really like for patients and laypersons in general to know, the first thing is that we are human, right? We're not mm-hmm. superhuman. We have lives, desires, aspirations. Many of us, of course, have families, whether it's, you know, spouses, children, extended families. We have parents. We hurt, we cry, we bleed. We need to eat, pee, and poop just like anybody else, right? And so I think sometimes it's this kind of view of this superhuman or this kind of machine, and I need what I want, I need it right now, this Burger King mentality of, you know, have it your way. Mm-hmm. And the deal is we're trying to balance all of these things as well, making sure there's correct information given about the pandemic, making sure that we're taking care of our patients well and that we're not bringing things to our family or our parents, making sure that the bills are paid, making sure that the kids are okay. And on top of that, having this huge honor and privilege to be able to take care of you and to make sure that you're okay. But there is a limit of resources and a limit of time and things we can do. And so the expectation sometimes of, I want it right now. I want this antibiotic, whether it's right or wrong. I want you to complete this paperwork for me. I want you to call me back right now. And they don't realize that, one, they're not the only patient that you have. Two, you have to make sure that you're taking care of yourself so you can take care of them. And paperwork isn't as easy as people think. So the diligence, you want to make sure it's done appropriately. So just viewing us with compassion, realizing there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes, because people hear, oh, I just spent 5 minutes with the doctor, 10 minutes with the doctor. Well, they don't know with the advent of electronic health records, some physicians are working after they get off work 6 to 7, say at night, they may grab something to eat or going back to that computer and work until 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, geez.
And they don't realize that. And so they're thinking that, I don't know sometimes what they're thinking. I'm like, are we golfing, swimming, kayaking? Like, no, my job, to the point that I have some nieces, nephews, children that have just seen me and wanted to be a doctor. And then now they see auntie or mom typing and putting stuff in. They're like, I don't want to do that. Like, your job never ends. And we hear the calls and we hear this. So just realize that we're human, realize that a lot goes on behind the scene that they're not aware of, to give them the healthcare that need, and showing a little appreciation and sometimes cutting us some slack, because you know, we aren't perfect, but we're definitely trying to do the best we can so you can get the care that you need and deserve.
Okay.
So be patient.
Yeah.
Well, not only as a patient, but be patient.
Right.
Patient. Exactly. It goes a long way.
And then in addition to, you know, being patient and realizing that you guys are, you know, human, although we do treat you like superheroes, because you are superheroes, what else can we do to support healthcare providers?
All right, so I know you probably heard this over and over again, but the first thing we're going to say in this pandemic, wear a mask.
Oh, yeah.
The deal is with that, we've seen the results, we've seen the reports, we've seen, you know, the science behind it. So one of the best things we can do to support healthcare providers, clinicians, the healthcare team, and everyone in general is, you know, as much as possible, wear your mask. You know, stay in, social distance, wear your mask, and all those things. The other thing I think that could be helpful is understanding that you can be your partner in healthcare. And what I mean by that is, for instance, if you're a patient that has insurance, we don't always know every medicine that's on your formulary or every doctor that's in network for you. So if you need a referral or if you need to get a medication, if you can assist us and have, hey doc, this is the list of, say, diabetic meds that I can take. It's not a lot of effort and energy put into the wrong thing. And then we have to say, well, that one wasn't covered. What's covered? That one's covered. So be an advocate for yourself. You can ask questions. You can hold your insurance accountable. You can let us know, you know, what you need on a visit. So being proactive, being an advocate for yourself, working with us goes a long way. And honestly, as mom, grandma, everybody say, just saying thank you sometimes. I mean, the thing is, attitude of gratitude goes a long way. And it's not like, say, any of us expect to be worshiped. We don't. I feel it's a privilege and an honor to do what I do. I am humbled by the fact that people share their deepest secrets and want to get better. And I want to, you know, help them get better. I'm excited when they're losing weight. I'm excited when their blood pressure is better. But it's also one of those things of when people are, say, chewing your head off for the cost of medicine that I have no control over.
Right.
Or I couldn't get that MRI, or that doctor that you sent me to doesn't take my insurance, but that's what you told us they were. You know, so it's those things of I don't have control of those things. So just understanding those things and working with us would go a long way.
Yeah, no, that's totally understandable. But we're very appreciative that you brought that out, brought it to light.
Yes, thank you from the last 10 patients that you've had.
Thank you. Well, look, I have to be honest. I have some wonderful patients. I have patients that bring me things from their garden. I had some greens and fried green tomatoes the other day. We were from the South, y'all. So anyway, deer meat and, you know, pictures of grandchildren and folks of, like, you know, just small gifts and things here and there that mean a huge amount. So by far, I have more persons that are appreciative that tell me, I'm praying for you, doc. Thank you all for being on the front lines.
Nice.
It's so good to see you. We're glad you're doing well. You know, I have more of those persons by far than persons that are, say, negative. And even those that are, I'll sometimes say, you know what? I know it's the pain talking right now. I know you're hurting. I know things are going on. This is what we're going to do. We're going to work through this. We're not going to abuse my front office. You'll pay your copay. We're going to take care of you. And we'll start this over. And generally just kind of meeting them where they are is helpful, because we do know patients are hurting too. We don't expect, you know, everybody to be in a perfect situation where you're hurting and, you know, you don't have food and your medicines and you pay your bills. So we understand that, and we appreciate it,
right,
that they appreciate it.
Oh, that's great. It is actually working together.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What can you tell us or our listeners about the book Physicians Working Together?
Right. So the group Physicians Working Together is a nonprofit group. It started on Facebook in 2015 with three members, and now we have approximately 9,000 in every continent. Yeah, Australia. It's amazing the power of social media. We've been able to provide medical student scholarships. We also have started receiving grants and things like that. We're excited that we have, you know, all specialties, all regions, different ethnicities, of course, male, female. And we're able to come together and work together to uplift each other. We have forums. We've had virtual CMEs where we've gotten credit for the education sessions that we have. We went to D.C. We've met with our legislators. We're super excited about the fact that we took Doctors' Day, which was on March the 30th, and expanded it to the whole week to National Physicians Week. Everybody was shocked because they thought, you know, we have a social, you know, month and cat days and weeks, and that we never had really a physician week. And so our group started that, and we have National Physicians Week. And we use it as an opportunity to uplift each other, to let the community know we love what we do, we're honored to do it, and they love back on us. So that's really cool. So physicians working together is exactly what we're saying, connecting, caring, and collaborating with each other to take care of each other.
And how can physicians and medical students learn more about physicians working together?
Awesome question. Great, great, great. So if you are on social media, we're Physicians Working Together, a Facebook group you can request to join. There'll be some questions there. If you are not, say, a physician or medical student, we have a Physicians Working Together community page that you can follow and post and ask questions. As far as on websites, as far as our websites, we have physiciansworkingtogether.org, or it's the PWT.org, and besttogether.org. So you can check those out, you know, link, comment, follow. And then we're also on Instagram and Twitter. So there are various ways you can reach out to us and join and join in the fun. And we'd love to have you. And if anyone's interested, definitely they can hit me up, Dr. J or Dr. Kim Jackson. I'm definitely love to speak with you and work with you.
That's fantastic.
Yes,
thank
is.
You.
Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Jackson. We do appreciate you taking your time, and the information that you've been giving to us has been very, very insightful. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. It's been an honor.
If our listeners have any questions or comments related to today's show, they can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com, through our website, podcastdx.com, on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, or Instagram.
And if you have a moment to spare, please give us a review wherever you get your podcast. As always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment, and always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment. And before undertaking a new healthcare regime, and never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard of this podcast.
Till next week.